Many people love a good story. And I think for that reason, the parables of Jesus are probably one of the most loved, one of the most popular portions of the scriptures. And I think it's fair to say that the understanding of parables or the interpretation of parables over the course of the history of the church have had quite a colourful history. Some might even say a tortured history. The predominant way of understanding parables in the past has been as allegories, as the parables describing in every little detail some kind of symbol, and the lessons drawn from them have typically been moral lessons. In hindsight, if we surveyed the understanding of parables, we might look back and see quite some wild speculations about what the parables meant. In more recent times, last century, some put forward that parables had one point and one point only. Others said that there was one point per character. Still others said that the parables had no fixed meaning at all. They were to be, they had a different meaning, a different understanding for all hearers. You could virtually make your own meaning. What do we do with the parables? How do we understand them? That's what we want to look at this morning. And I think firstly what we need to look at is, well, what is a parable? A parable is, the word parable simply means to bring two things together, place them side by side and to compare. Now, the parables in the scriptures, and we'll see them more and more, and particularly here in chapter 13 as we continue to work through Matthew. The parables, they range from one line comparison. They range all the way to a lengthy story like this one, the parable of the sower. They can be a proverb, they can be a simile, a metaphor, a figure of speech, a riddle. But what's evident in the parables is that the meaning itself is not evident. Or at least it's not evident on the surface. The parables themselves require some sort of explanation in order to understand how they're being used and what they're being used for. Some of those parables are easier to understand than others, and some of them are quite a good deal more difficult. Some are addressed to various people, some are addressed to the disciples, some are addressed to the Pharisees, some are addressed for different reasons. What we're trying to say here, there's no one-size-fits-all approach to understanding the parables. But this parable though has a special significance. It has a special significance because it's one of the few parables that Jesus explains, and so we get the privilege of sitting in and hearing Jesus' explanation of this parable. But more than that, to some degree, this parable shows why Jesus used parables at all. And so this parable in particular, as we look at it this morning, is not simply a good story, nor is it to be used to draw out a moral lesson. Here we want to see the purpose of parables. So that's our theme this morning, the purpose of parables. And that purpose we'll see is three things: to conceal, secondly, to fulfill, thirdly, to reveal. So firstly, the purpose of the parables is to conceal. Now, if we recap just briefly where we've been in Matthew's gospel so far, we've been in chapters 1 to 4, we've seen the origin of Jesus, that he is the descendant of Abraham, the descendant of David, and there's that particular emphasis on the fulfillment of Scripture, Jesus being the promised Messiah. As we've made our way through chapters 5 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, we've heard Jesus teaching, and he teaches as one with authority. Chapters 8 to 12, we've seen the authority of Jesus in his miracles, though we've also seen the mixed responses. And now we get to chapter 13. In chapter 13, we have a series of parables. And the question comes up in verse 10, by the disciples, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answers that question in a lengthy way, but verse 13 in particular, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. We've heard the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, but those people didn't really hear. They saw the wonderful miracles of Jesus, but did not really see. And they don't really see and they don't really hear because Jesus says in verse 15, this people's heart has grown dull. And this is why he's speaking to them in parables. Their hearts are dull, and Jesus is speaking them to keep their hearts dull. Jesus is speaking them to confirm their hard hearts, to keep them in the dark. Lest, he says, they should see, they should hear and understand and turn, and I would heal them. And this condition is reflected in the parable that Jesus tells. There are three kinds of ways, three descriptions of the dull heart in the parable. The first dull heart is the heart that hears the word of God and it has no impact on them, save for the rejection of the word. The second two responses to the word seem promising. There's an initial response, but it is not a sustained response. Whereas the first didn't understand the word at all, the second misunderstands the word that is heard. And yet both are in the dark. Both hearts are dull. You see, it's possible. It's possible to be very, very positive toward Jesus. It's possible for us to be very positive toward Jesus and his message, the message of the gospel, and at the same time have a dull heart. It's possible for us to think we understand Jesus and what's going on and yet not understand. And the test will be, as Jesus' explanation of the parable shows, tribulation or persecution because of the word. The test whether we understand God's word is when trouble happens either in the world or even trouble in the church itself. The test will also be what we're concerned about. Are we concerned about the cares of this world, verse 22, or the deceitfulness of riches? Our hearts will be tested in order to reveal what it is that we love most. Now, this can raise questions for us. And I think the obvious question that we tend to think about when we hear this parable is, well, which soil am I? Which ground will I prove to be? How can I know whether I'll be that ground that produces the fruit, that ground that perseveres under trial, that ground that is not consumed by the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches, but produces and yields the fruit of the harvest? How can I know? How can you know? That's a good question to ask. And we need to think about that. We need to be aware that it's possible, as Jesus shows us, that we can think we understand and not. But I'm going to come back to that question. Because before we get there, we need to see further what the purpose of the parables are and what Jesus is doing here. He tells these parables, firstly, to keep this people's hearts dull, to keep them in the dark, to conceal the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of his identity. Jesus is very plain about that. And that might seem to us to be a strange way of doing things. But God's ways are not our ways. There is a bigger picture we need to see. So firstly, though, the purpose of the parables is to conceal, but the second purpose of the parables is to fulfill. Verse 14, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. As we've seen, as we've gone through Matthew, that fulfillment of the scriptures is one of the key themes of Matthew's gospel. And here, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah chapter 6. And what Jesus is saying is that in the first century, when he's come into the world and he's ministering among God's people, he's saying what's happening in the world is similar to what's happening in Isaiah's day. It parallels what was happening on Isaiah's day, and in fact, it's going to fulfill what was said by Isaiah. In Isaiah 5, there's a parable. The parable of the vineyard. Verse 7 of chapter 5 of Isaiah says this. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Isaiah's ministry was one where he called God's people to repentance. He prophesied the judgment of God's people because of their unjust practices, because of their lack of righteousness. But at the same time, he proclaimed hope for the remnant. Hope through the Messiah. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, the same thing's happening. And in fact, this is a fulfillment of Isaiah's day. Now, I want you to think for a moment. You are with Jesus, and he's explaining this parable. You've seen the wonderful things that Jesus has done. Great miracles that he's done in chapter 12, where he healed the withered man's hand, where he cast out the demon-oppressed man. You've seen it. And you've seen this overwhelming response. The crowds flock to Jesus, though it's a mixed response. You've seen the hostility growing. And the longer you are with Jesus, the longer you are following Jesus, this hostility and opposition is growing and intensifying until the point where you will get to Jerusalem. He'll be arrested. He'll be taken from you. And he'll be executed. And you'll see the people he came to minister to, turn against him. What are you to make of that? It might look like Jesus' ministry has been a spectacular failure. It might look like your kingdom hopes have been shattered. And it wasn't supposed to work out this way. Jesus is saying to them and foretelling them that this is the plan. This is the way it's supposed to work. This will fulfill the scriptures. What Jesus is showing them there by foretelling them that this is this hardening of the people is fulfilling the scriptures. What he's telling them, this is the sovereign God at work. And that's exceedingly important for us. Why is that exceedingly important for you to know? It's exceedingly important because suffering and persecution and trial are one of the things that Jesus says causes people to turn away from him. Concern for the good life is one of the reasons why people who hear the word do not understand it. If you don't know that God is sovereign and that he is working out his plan, his way, according to his kingdom and what he values, when the same things happen to you, you'll wonder why. You'll think, why is this happening to me? And what happens is that you'll end up pursuing the idealistic God, the ideal 21st century God, the God which many in our world demand, the God that is made in our image, the God that serves us, and not the sovereign God. You see, it's important for us to know that this is the sovereign God at work and that he has planned this way so that we would know what his way is. And when that trial comes, when that tribulation comes, Jesus says it will, we won't stand there and wonder, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? The sovereignty of God, the way that he is working his purpose out in the world, the way that he is working through Jesus, the reason why he's telling parables, shows us that God owes us nothing. Yet he promises everything. But he promises everything within his sovereign purpose, within his sovereign plan, within his sovereign good pleasure and not ours. He promises everything within the kingdom that he is bringing and not our own kingdom. It is our kingdom hopes and it is our expectations that need reorienting to his and not the other way around. It is our understanding, our knowledge of God that needs illuminating, lest we misunderstand it and find ourselves in conflict with God's kingdom. So this is the second purpose of the parables, to fulfill, to show us the sovereignty of God. Finally, the purpose of the parables is to reveal. Look what Jesus says in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They are blessed not because of their own ability to see and hear, because this parable still requires explanation. If they understood, they didn't need the explanation. It's not because they have it in themselves to see and hear. They are blessed because they see and hear, verse 17, what the prophets and what many righteous people long to see. Speaking of the people, the faithful in the Old Testament, what those people longed to see and did not see. What they longed to hear and did not hear. But what was it that they longed to see? And what was it that they longed to hear? Look at what Jesus says in verse 11. And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They are seeing the kingdom. They are hearing the kingdom come. It's happening. It's happening. But it requires a revealer. It requires a giver. To you it has been given, Jesus says. And because the mystery of the kingdom requires a giver, it requires someone to reveal it because it cannot be understood without it. It requires grace. And that is what these disciples, that is what we have in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the giver. He is the revealer of the kingdom. Often in this parable, our attention is often fixed on the soils, on the ground. And we ask that question, which ground am I? Which one will I be? How do I know? Our attention needs to be directed to the sower. Look at what he calls the parable. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. It's not the parable of the soils. It's the parable of the sower. The one who reveals. The one who proclaims the message of the kingdom. Jesus has come to proclaim, to reveal this kingdom. And it will be, and it is fully revealed in his death and resurrection. The death that removes the curse of sin, that brings blessing to all who turn, to all who understand him and follow him. The privilege of speaking for God and proclaiming the kingdom was no longer with the Jewish leaders. God has given that work to his apostles, to the followers of Jesus, that the fruit of the kingdom would be produced through them, through us. How do you know which soil you will be, which ground you will be? You will know it when you know Jesus as the sower. And when you know it not simply for what you get out of it, not simply for what he gives or what he can do for us, but knowing that God is bringing his kingdom through him. When you know what God is doing in this world and how he works and what his kingdom is like, then you will be that ground that produces the fruit. And as we go through the parables, we'll notice that that's what Jesus is revealing. That's what he's teaching. He's teaching about the kingdom. He's teaching about the king. He's teaching about God's grace. And so the true follower, the one who hears and understands, has the message of the kingdom rooted in them. And that will produce a life that will produce a character that is shaped by this message, shaped by the gospel of Jesus. And it's that message that will compel us in every facet of our life. It's that message that will influence us in the way we respond to trial and persecution and hardship. And it's that message that will shape us in what we pursue in this world and what it is we care for in this world. So this is what Jesus is revealing in his parables. The purpose of his gospel, the purpose of his mission, not to build our kingdom, but to build his and produce the fruit that will honor and glorify God. In Mark 4, we find the parable of this parable. And Jesus says there to his disciples, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" This parable is a paradigm for understanding all the parables, because it's a paradigm for understanding what Jesus is doing and how he does it. Jesus' mission would not be a spectacular failure because some people rejected him. His mission would not be a spectacular failure because some initially responded and then fell away. Much less would his mission be a failure when he ends up on a cross. Instead, the sovereign plan and purpose of God is being fulfilled. And so Jesus uses parables to conceal this from his opponents, to fulfill the scriptures, and to reveal himself as the means for producing God's harvest for his glory. Friends, may we see, may we understand, by God's grace, the parable of the sower. Amen. We pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can consider your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself fully in the personal work of Jesus. Lord, we confess our need for your grace and the work of your Spirit to help us understand. Lord, help us see more clearly. Help us to understand more fully and more deeply the work that you are doing in and through Jesus and through the message of the gospel. Father, may it take root deep within us. May it produce a harvest for your glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.